Blog Talk Radio.
Preparing for a wonderful Father's Day weekend, and we would like to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and we pray that you do have a wonderful and restful weekend. This is Kwajalein, and here is my husband.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
So we want to thank everyone for taking the time out to call in tonight or to stream. As always, we would like to let you guys know that we do appreciate your support, and we ask that if there's a show that you feel as though will be beneficial to someone, we ask that you please spread the word, tell people, share the links, you know, just try to help us get the word out there. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to start on our topic for tonight, a very sensitive topic, however, one that needs to be discussed because it's something that happens in marriages all over. And so we are going to address infidelity on tonight, and also we're going to talk about ways that we can try to prevent it. So we're going to go ahead and get into the topic. Overcoming infidelity. The Christian design of marriage is defined as the union between one man and one woman. Unfortunately, there are times when the marital union is disrupted due to the addition of a third party that has been brought in by either spouse, actually third, fourth, sometimes more. As a result, many marriages are broken and the family unit destroyed. What defines infidelity? What actions within the marriage lead up to a spouse being unfaithful? Are there warning signs present that may help prevent infidelity? Is there a possibility that marriages can recover when one or both spouses have been unfaithful? So if you're streaming on tonight and if you would like to call in and give your opinion on this, we ask that you please call area code 657-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571. If you have, you know, any opinions, any stories you would like to share, please give us a call. We just ask that everyone keep in mind that this is a Christian-based show. So we're going to go ahead and open up the lines for our callers to to say hello to everyone. Ms. Brenda, are you there?
Yes, I am, darling. How are you all?
Good. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Well, thank you for calling. As you know, we let you know every time you call, your line will be open. If you have anything to say, we would love to hear from you.
Thank you, darling. I'm listening.
Thank you, Ms. Brenda, for my card and my pictures. I got them.
Okay, baby. Glad you did.
Yeah, we were looking at how young we were then compared to now and how much smaller.
Oh, you need to stop, child.
Mom, the line is open. Are you there? She got her phone on mute. You there, Mom? Okay. Well, if my mom decides to unmute her phone, then she can say hello. We'll go ahead and move on. Mish, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are my pastors doing?
We're doing good.
That's good. That's good. Just in case I don't get a chance to talk to you on Sunday, Pastor Kenny, have a Father's Day to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, madam.
Yep, I am. I just want to say great topic, and I will probably be chiming in a little bit later.
Yeah, your line, right. Your line will be open if you decide you want to.
Tell my brother Keto I said Happy Father's Day as well, please.
All right, I sure will. I'm hoping he's on the phone. He did get off work a little late today. You know how it is.
Yeah.
He's not on yet, but maybe he'll call in.
Yeah, hopefully he will.
All right, Mish.
All right, Pastor. I'll be here.
Okay. Keisha, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I am.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
Fine. Doing fine. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, brother.
Of course, your line will be open if you have anything to say on this topic tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Definition of infidelity. Now, we're going to start off with what, you know, the definition is as far as on in the dictionary and also biblically. Sex, when you have sexual intercourse with someone other than your spouse. When a husband has sexual intercourse with someone other than his wife, and a wife has sexual intercourse with someone other than her husband. Because, again, this is a Christian-based show for anyone that's listening. So we do believe in the Christian definition of marriage between a husband and a wife. Not bashing anyone, not downing anyone. This is just what we believe. And so this is how we will proceed. Okay, so that is the definition of infidelity or adultery. However, I know on the other show, the last show that we had on Tuesday, we were talking about how that definition, you know, could be expanded. My husband shared his testimony, you know, and how he was delivered from being addicted to pornography. And so, you know, I guess that's something else. I guess we all have a different definition of infidelity. There are some relationships that may consider infidelity only as physical, you know, if you were with someone physically. However, there are other cases where you may consider, you know, if your husband or your wife is talking to someone online, if they have a strong emotional connection with someone, they're, you know, writing emails to someone or, you know, just dating someone, going out to eat on a regular basis, you know, something like that where there's some type of an emotional connection, then some people would consider that as infidelity as well. Now, I'm just going to speak for me personally, and then I'm going to ask my husband to chime in on this. Me personally, I know we've had a show before on, you know, the betrayal of trust, but we were not just talking about infidelity. We were talking about different ways that you could betray trust in a relationship. Me personally, if to me, I would still consider if my husband's doing something and he's emotionally connected with someone else in some type of way, I would consider that a betrayal of trust and a step towards infidelity. That is just how I would feel. So, babe, I'm going to pass the phone over to you to see what you have to say about that.
Yeah, well, what I want to say is that definitely is a trust issue when you have a spouse, whether it's the man or the woman in the marriage, that actually connects. And I actually had a situation that happened here last year sometime where I had an old girlfriend from high school decided to reach me through Facebook. So she reached me through Facebook, and then, of course, I associated with my wife about it and then told my wife. And my wife's like, it's okay, you know. And my wife pretty much trusted me and entrusted me to talk to her without it being nothing crazy. But then things started getting out of hand, not necessarily on my end, but she started trying to message me more and more and more and more and more, and I was like, whoa, this is a little crazy. So I, in a sense, I violated my trust because I didn't share that she was messaging me a lot with my wife. And I just was eventually got to the point where I talked to my wife about it, and you know I can see where she was hurt, you know, because she felt like I violated the trust because I didn't tell her that she was messaging me as much as she was. And then me, being the man that I am, I love my wife, and I wouldn't let no one come in between, you know, what God has put together and try to cause division. And, however, there was a slight bit of division, but I basically ended that Facebook friendship, and now my wife and I, we're doing good. So, ladies and gentlemen, listeners on the line, I did not cheat. I did not do anything wrong. Just to let you know, I didn't. But the one thing that I did do, I didn't tell my wife, basically, which is a very important matter. I didn't tell my wife that she was messaging me as much. So that's what I have, honey.
Okay. So, yes, I guess it goes back to the couples. What do you consider as a betrayal of trust in the relationship? To me, yes, that was a betrayal. We have another caller, so I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. Faye, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Hello, Faye, are you there? Hi.
How everybody doing?
We're good. How you doing?
Good. I'm good.
Good. Well, thank you for calling in. We're talking about overcoming infidelity tonight. So we just started out talking about the definition of infidelity, and we were just talking about, you know, how that can be different in some relationships, and then we were just sharing our story. So your line will be open. Please feel free to chime in if you have anything to say.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so that's infidelity. Even in separation, as far as the Bible is concerned, we know that we have couples that are separated due to different things, but even in separation, if someone is dating someone, having sex with someone other than their spouse, that is still considered infidelity or adultery if you're legally married.
Yes.
So I know some people don't believe that's so, but if you're a Christian, then it is. Then that's what it is. So I wanted to address this one thing. I'm going to read this scripture first. Matthew 5:27-28. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And now I know, we used to go to a church here, and I used to get bothered because the pastor, the bishop, would always pretty much say things that would make people think it was okay for you to look and not touch. I had a problem with that because I just feel as though, and his wife was there, you know, he would tell his little stories about his ex-girlfriend and stuff that he was crazy about, and he had gone back home, and he found himself looking up, you know, her number in the phone book and all of that. But, you know, I feel as though when we're married, it's, of course, you know, it's how the scripture, to me, it's not okay to lustfully look at someone and say, well, I can look but not touch. Because to me, that is still a form of, you know, it's still lusting. It's still a form of betrayal. Now, I don't know how anyone else feels about that. If anybody wants to speak on that, Kenny, what do you say about that? Okay, we have another caller. Hold on 1 second. Keto, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Not a problem.
We are talking about infidelity tonight, so we're going to leave the line open. If you have anything to say, please feel free to just jump on in there.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, coming up when I was young, you know, Of course, I had, you know, older guys that I knew in the neighborhood, and, you know, I had my uncles. They had these things where they had these little cliches. They'll say, you know, just because I'm married don't mean I can't look at the menu. Basically saying, I'm married, but, you know, I'm a man. I still should be able to look. But the Word of God basically tells you that if you lust after a woman, and lusting, ladies and gentlemen, you have verbal and nonverbal lusting. Verbal lusting means the things I do to you. Nonverbal is, or, you know, those are things that you're lusting. So people don't know that, but these simple type gestures, right, are where you're lusting and thinking of things that you would do that are definitely not what you would call appropriate. I'll put it for lack of better terms, not appropriate. So, you know, I think of it as this, and I mean, anybody's welcome to chime in. I think of it as like this, you know, I try to make sure that I share as much as I can with my wife, other than that last situation I told y'all about that I didn't talk to her completely about, but I eventually came to her because I was convicted about it. But I think of it as if there's even a thought that I would feel bad about telling my wife, then that's something that I probably shouldn't be thinking about. Carlos, what do you think?
Cricket. I completely agree. I agree. I think that, you know, we have to keep in mind how the other person would feel. So if I'm looking at another man, I'm like, oh, my gosh, the things that he could do to me or the things that I, you know, those type of things, then there's still a sense of betrayal there because it is inappropriate. Those type of thoughts should only be, you know, towards your spouse. That's because those thoughts lead, you know, we have to understand that we start off thinking things and then those thoughts lead to actions. And so then we do have, you know, the act of infidelity that occurs. And then with that, we have such a breakdown. We have a breakdown in trust. It affects the marriage. It affects the kids. You know, it affects everything. And so then we have this big issue that can be restored. And we're going to get into that, you know, because God is a restorer. So there's still hope. You know, but it's still an issue that actually could be avoided. We have to keep in mind that there are some things that we can avoid. There are some things that we go through, you know, for a purpose. There are some things that, you know, God would just allow us to go through to make us stronger and this and that. And marriages do come out stronger sometimes, you know, after going through a situation of infidelity. However, that is not something that we have to go through. That is a choice. Whether it's one spouse, you know, you have situations where both spouses are committing infidelity. But that is a choice. That is not something that has to happen. That is something that we bring on, that we allow to happen. And when the temptation is there, we need to, you know, like the Bible says, there's a way out. We need to take that way out if it's there. We do understand that, you know, everybody's human. Nobody's perfect. We get all of that, but we don't have to give in to those things. You have anything to say about that?
Right. Now, back to the topic I spoke to you all on earlier. I talked to my wife about why I didn't share it because, for one, my wife had given me permission to talk to the young lady. And I talked to her, but I didn't talk to her to the point where I was messaging her and this, that, and the third. It was just the other way around, and then I got uncomfortable about it, you know. And I definitely, as a man of God, I felt really convicted, you know. I was like, man, this is not cool. So eventually, I came to my wife and I told her, and you know, granted, of course, first reaction, you know, the trust was violated, and she was upset, which is totally understandable. I understand that 100%, and I accept full responsibility for my actions. But I would never do anything that would cause division or that would jeopardize my marriage, and 'cause I'm not that type of person. I definitely try not to, definitely. Like my wife said, try not to. And we all should strive to not to.
Right. And so, you know, even with that, it was, you know, that was a hurtful thing, even though, you know, there was physical or whatever, but it was still hurtful because he was talking, even though I knew he was talking to this young lady, but I didn't know they were talking that much. And then my thing was, I don't understand why, you know, you have to message a married man every morning. You know, I didn't understand that. So we're going to, you know, we have to be careful when we're in our relationships, you know, in our marriages or whatever. We have to remember that if we're saved, we represent God at all times first, and then we are a representation of our spouses at all times. So, you know, in that, it's important that we are careful about the things we do, the things we say. And I know I've mentioned this before. We were talking about, I think we were talking about our deployment show. I don't really remember. But even when my husband is gone, I make sure that I put myself in those predicaments. It's a choice. So I'm conscious about that because I don't want to put myself in a predicament with another guy. Well, you know, I'm lonely, so I'll just talk to somebody, whatever. No, I'll call my friends. I'll call my mom. I'll call, pick up a hobby, you know, something, especially when you know that void is there, because once we bring that extra in, it's so much that comes along with that. That extra.
Yes, it is.
You know, the extra person, those extra feelings. Sometimes people, you know, they go and they get in these relationships. Let me go on with this first and then I'll talk about it. Reasons. There are several reasons, and these are just some that I have. If anybody wants to say anything, please feel free. You know, that people say that they, or people are vulnerable to get into an outside relationship. First of all, sometimes there's a loss of physical attraction. We kind of talked about this the other day also on the other show. But, you know, in situations where, you know, the wife may have had babies and she's gained weight, the husband may find himself, you know, at a point where he's no longer attracted to her. If she's running behind three kids sometimes, you know, y'all know we don't dress up like we did when we first met them because we're tired. We run behind three kids and... You know, especially if you got little kids, your clothes, they get food and stuff all on your clothes, and by the time you finish dressing them and, you know, feeding them and doing all of this, then you just do feel like putting on some sweatpants and a shirt sometimes. And so sometimes we unintentionally let ourselves go because we are, you know, running after kids or things that have come up in life. Sometimes illness. We know that illness may come about with the spouse, and so the other partner is not getting that romantic interaction that they want. You know, when I started having thyroid problems, I didn't know I was having thyroid problems, but there were a lot of things that changed with me, so I knew it was something physically going on, but I didn't know what it was first. And so, you know, it just going on, and you don't realize it, you know, and so sometimes... Partner may feel as though they're not getting everything they want. Emotional detachment. Now, this is a big one for women because we are emotional creatures. If we feel as though our husbands are emotionally attached from us, it's not uncommon for, you know, somebody to start talking to, you know, for a woman to start talking to somebody that they feel as though is emotionally attached to them, paying them some attention, giving them a few compliments, you know, doing those things that they feel as though that they're not getting from their husbands. And sometimes you don't intentionally mean for it to turn into an adulterous relationship, but then it happens because, you know, you're feeding off of that that you're not getting. Someone is temporarily filling that void that you have there. Constant arguing. Sometimes we go through things, financial things, issues with kids, and, you know, in the house we're just constantly back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, your husband may go to work and she's like, oh, you know, you're having a good conversation. She's making you laugh and all kinds of things. And then before you know it, it has turned into some more. A lack of time. Sometimes we're so busy that we don't get that time to spend or make needed to spend with each other, or in cases like where, you know, for us that are in the military, when our husbands are constantly gone, when they are, you know, deployed or whatever, then sometimes we don't get that time that we need. Being complacent. Sometimes we just become complacent in a relationship. And I think something that most of us have to work on, because it's common for that to happen. We become complacent, and then again somebody comes in and then they're doing something that, you know, your spouse used to do. They used to make you laugh like that, or, you know, your wife used to wear a dress like that, or, you know, whatever. And so then you find yourself just kind of getting caught up in that.
What you have to say? Yeah, actually, all the points that you made and all the reasoning and things that you just came up with are telltale signs points in a relationship where people would step out on their marriage per se. But I just want to encourage everyone on the line tonight that, you know, there are times where you're going to have those rocky points in your marriage, and there's times where you're going to have rocky points in a relationship if you're pretty much engaged. You're going to have those rocky times, but make sure you're communicating with one another. Communication is really the driving force behind a lot of what I would call prevention and preservation of a relationship. Because when you're communicating your emotional state, or when you're communicating just how you feel in general, it's important though that not only you communicate to your loved one or your spouse, but it's also important for the spouse to open up and listen and be considerate of your feelings and the way you feel and what you're saying, and respect it. I mean, because, you know, I used to be that, you know, husband that was like, oh, whatever, you just upset, you know, boom, 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 you'll be all right, you'll get over it. But then I had to realize, I was like, man, it's important to be listened to, because when one thing I learned just being married is that women find a very utter importance when it comes to being listened to. They want to feel heard. They want their voice to be heard. And a lot of times, you know, the husbands are just so tied up and just, you know, we're so blunt with being, you know, we're so blunt and brunt because we're hanging out with the fellas all the time at work. And, you know, you say things, you do things, you be like, man, whatever. And then you wind up carrying on that same persona when it comes to your wife, but you can't do that. Because that's an intimate relationship, whereas with your coworkers, y'all just tripping out. And God has really shown me a lot of things over the years when it comes to my wife. And when I talk to my wife and when she talks to me, I definitely enjoy being heard. And I like to know that she's heard me. And I like to see action after I've spoken about a certain matter. And she enjoys the exact same thing. So let's definitely just remember, communication is the key. It's a preventative measure to a it's a long term preventative measure to a short term problem. Because what I mean by that is, like my wife said, you know, you don't feel like you're being heard, you don't feel like you're being paid attention to, you feel less attractive. Just in a matter of a second, in the blink of an eye, you can be in a relationship, an adulterous relationship with someone else, and not even realize that they even went that far. And I just encourage you to just make sure that you're paying attention and being considerate of one another.
Right. That's great, baby. We have to pay attention. And even when we are, you know, in other places at work, or, you know, just anywhere in the store, we also have to be aware, because there are some people out there, they're just vultures. They want to come in and they, you know, they're looking at that vulnerable spot. Oh, okay, she's vulnerable or he's vulnerable. And they want to come in and just, you know, destroy your relationship, or, you know, get with you or whatever. And they don't care anything about your marriage. They don't care anything about your family unit. They just think about what they want. And so sometimes, you know, they can pick up on that vulnerability, whether it be, you know, we are talking to them, just talking to them. You could be talking to them innocently, just like, the situation with Kenny. You know, I don't believe that. I believe his intentions were innocent, but I can't say that about her because, again, you know, he's married. Why would you be sending him a message every morning? Why would you send him a picture of you and him back in high school, talking about you remember those days? That, you know, those type of things. There's no need to do all of that. So, you know, we have to, we also have to be on guard because we have to keep in mind that, you know, the enemy has all kinds of traps, and when we're not on guard, you know, it's easy to get entangled in something that we do not want to be in, you know, we didn't intend to be. So we have to remember to protect our marriages, protect our families, because it's important. Now, can the relationship be repaired? In most cases, yes, it can. There is life after infidelity. There can be. However, it takes both partners working together, you know, in an effort to make it work. The partner that was the one that was cheated on has to be willing to, you know, accept what happened, but also forgive. That's a big part. Forgive and move forward. You know, sometimes we try to move forward, but we're still hanging on to those things that happened. And so that's when we have to personally go before God and ask him to help us to forgive. Because a lot of people don't understand, but forgiveness is such an important part of life, period. I say, not say, you know, in order for us to have a fulfilling life, we have to learn how to forgive. So if a marriage is going to be repaired, restored, if you're going to move forward in your marriage after infidelity, then there forgiveness is key.
Absolutely. Forgiveness is key. And then and forgiving, a lot of people say, I forgive you, but I don't forget. Okay, but you know, you expound on that and you grow from that instant where you or your spouse is at a down point in your marriage, in your relationship, and you learn to expound and grow on that. Don't just bring that up every time you get into a heated discussion, because in actuality you're not forgiving. You're just continuing to cut open that wound that has healed over and over and over again. And I mean, granted, you know, you heal, right, and then there's a presence of a scar, okay, and with that scar, if you continue to throw it up, all you're doing is just cutting that scar back open, and pouring salt back in the wound. When you love and you're able to forget, right, because we have to think just as God and just as God our Father and just as Jesus Christ does with us on a regular, right? God forgave us of our sins, which means that he knows the sin that we committed because he knows all. But at the same time, he's loved us enough to forgive us for what we've done. And on a constant basis, you know, people ask God for forgiveness, and then they go back and do the exact same thing they ask God for forgiveness for. And then they continue to say, well, you know, the Bible says his grace is sufficient. Yes, the Bible does say his grace is sufficient. But at the same time, even back to the marriage, and I digress, even back to the marriage aspect, when you've gone through that, you have to take a look at yourself. You got to do some self-examination. What did I do to cause my spouse to step out? And am I going to make that same mistake again? Am I going to do that same exact thing again? Because I see where it hurt not only my spouse, but it also hurt my family as a whole. And am I going to do that again? First, am I gonna displease God, right? That's the very first. Then second, am I gonna do anything else to cause my spouse to step out on me again? Because I can see where I wasn't paying that attention when I should have. I can see where I wasn't giving those compliments and hugs and kisses like I should have. And then this is what happened. Well, this, like I said, this is an opportunity for you to grow on it and you not to make the same mistakes, because you know we all know. Society's definition of insanity is doing the exact same thing over and over again, but each time you're expecting a different result. So let's just make sure that we expound on that and learn from our errors and our wrongs and not commit those wrongs again if your spouse is willing to forgive.
Right, and I do agree that, you know, a lot of times it is, you know, I don't I think it's an individual choice to step out, but I definitely see where, you know, it could be because of a void or something that's there. And then sometimes you just got a cheater. I mean, sometimes
yep.
you just in a relationship with a cheater, and that's just what it is. So we're not talking about those relationships. We're talking about, you know, the relationships where that's not the case, where there is something, you know, that left the relationship, you know, vulnerable. And so it does take for both parties to, like you said, baby, to do a self-evaluation. It takes for both parties to forgive. It takes for both parties to let go. And then even when you're looking back, because the chances, you know, you're going to remember it, but when you look back at it, you know, look back at it as a way to give someone else your testimony, to look at where God has brought you from,
Amen.
You know, something positive with it. Because I remember at the church, at our church that we went to in Texas, Pastor Chad always, he would drill this in us and drill this in us and drill this in us. Life is choice driven. And it is. We make choices every day. You know, there are some things that, some things we cannot help, but there are a lot of things that we can help, but we choose to use things as a crutch. And so we have to understand that it's a choice. It's a choice to forgive. It's a choice to move forward if both parties are willing, you know, to make that change. And then for the spouse that was the one that stepped out, you know, you have to be patient with your spouse.
Right.
Because it's not, the healing is not going to happen overnight. Regaining their trust is not going to happen overnight.
That's right.
You know, because it's grieving. It's no different than losing a family member, you know, a loved one or whatever. It's grief. You've lost something. You've lost trust. You've lost a sense of security. You know, you've lost different things. And so there's a, you have to be patient with that person. Now, the person should always be trying to move forward, but there might be times where, you know, they go back, they're crying, they may have an attitude a little bit that day, you know. I'm not saying for them to make you pay for it the rest of your life, the rest of the marriage, that's not right either, but I'm saying when you know that they're trying, but they're saying, look, I'm having an issue with getting over this right now, I need this, or I need for you to do that, I need for you to do this. So we have to be, you know, you have to be patient with that person and understand that that is a hard thing to endure, a very hard thing to endure.
I agree. It's a very hard thing to endure. I know we've been talking for quite some time now, and I want to just give a moment to open up the floor. If anybody has anything to say, you're definitely welcome to do so. But if not, you know, me and my wife, we just keep on talking. Are any of the listeners out there have anything to say on tonight? All right. Well, infidelity, as we've mentioned before, right? If you break down the word infidelity and you see, and you take off, you know, the ITY, you see infidel. And infidel means pretty much an enemy or a traitor or just an enemy, right? And that word in itself, right, is what causes the enemy to be able to come in and find vulnerability and take that vulnerability, right, and cause you to step away from the God-ordained marriage that God has set forth for you and your spouse. You know, when we're giving our vows, you know, the pastors and the preachers will say, you know, what God has put together, let no man come asunder. All right, so we need to definitely make sure that we're out there giving our all when it comes to our spouse, because our spouses deserve exactly what we vowed to give them, and that's love, trust, commitment, patience. And then also another term for the definition of infidel is a person who does not believe in religion or who adheres to religion other than one's own. All right, so they pretty much don't believe in, as I said, they're basically the enemy. They don't believe in things. So the enemy will have people out, have relationships torn because one of the spouses have felt rejected, had felt betrayed, which is, you know, things that, you know, comes into a marriage and actually and literally happens. But what are we doing in order to make sure that these things don't happen? You know, there's this famous cliche that everybody always has said for years and years, and probably for an unforeseeable future: a family that prays together stays together. Now, we can pray, right? We can pray and continue to pray and have faith, right? But not only should we have that faith, but we should always be on guard and pay attention to those signs out there, right? And that's why I go back to you paying attention to the telltale signs. If your spouse is telling you one thing and you blow him or her off first time, oh, whatever, you tripping. And they come back and tell you this again, they come back and tell you this again, and you probably should take time to listen. It's kind of like being in a college professor's class, and that college professor is saying something, but it's an implied task for you to take notes. It's an implied task for you to listen.
Exactly, exactly. So, again, we do pretty much what you said. You know, we do need to listen. And if it does happen, you know, we want to prevent it. That's what we desire to do. But sometimes it's not, for, you know, prevent it. But in a case where, you know, infidelity has occurred, you know, we talk about counseling all the time. Get counseling, spiritual counseling, definitely, in this situation. Because God is the one that will heal and he will restore.
Amen.
He will deliver. It is possible. It's not hopeless, you know, as long as both parties are willing to do it. Get counseling. When you seek the counseling, adhere to what the counselor says. You know, take it, you know, listen to what they say. You know, some stuff you might, but listen to what they say. Try to understand their reasoning for giving you the suggestions that they do, and at least take some of what they say, because you know they're there to help. They're there to try to help you repair, you know, what you feel as though was lost. Keep the hope. Something else I want to say, you know, even though some days, it's just like in marriage or any situation anyway, some days things just look dim. That's just how it is. But keep the hope. As long as you're both working, you're both striving, keep your faith, keep your hope, you know, keep your hope in God and keep your hope in each other. Remember the times before all of it happened, you know, when you first fell in love. Sometimes we just have to go back to those things. You know, those things will help. I remember it was this video that was going about around Facebook not too long ago, and this lady's husband wanted a divorce, and she said, okay, I'll give you a divorce. However, you know, but 30 days, I need you to meet me here and, you know, meet me at certain places or whatever, give me a hug. So every time she asked him to meet her, he was like, okay, you know, at first he wasn't really feeling it, but he would meet her at different places, and it was always somewhere that was special, like where they had their first kiss or, you know, something like that. And so by the end of it, he didn't want to get a divorce anymore. So sometimes, you know, we have to go back to those things, and we have to ask God to rekindle those things that we feel like we've lost, you know, those feelings, those times, you know, just kind of go back to, okay, what made us fall in love? Why did I fall in love with you in the first place? Why did you fall in love with me, you know, our days at the beginning? And so sometimes we just have to do that, and I think that that's something else that can help, you know, in the process of restoring a marriage, you know, due to infidelity. And something else before I hand the phone to my husband, cut the third person out completely, unless it's a case where, you know, you guys have kids together or something, you know, because sometimes, you know, that happens, or sometimes it is, you know, the mother, you know, baby mama, baby dad or something like that. But if you don't have any ties, cut them out. They have no reason to be there. No conversation, no emails. Don't think, okay, I'm cutting this off and we can just be friends. Y'all remember that song? What was that song? We can't be friends or we can't be lovers. No, you can't be friends. You know, it's you can't. Just completely, completely cut them out. Completely cut them out. Okay, let me get a phone to my husband.
All right. So, I mean, very important topic, very real and surreal topic, a topic that should be discussed because it's kind of like things that many people don't share or talk about because of fear of things coming up. This show, Family Matters with Kenny and Kwasi, this show is God has given my wife and I the vision for this show to come about to rebuild and restore the foundation in a relationship, in a marriage, you know. And with that being said, restoring that relationship is important, okay, because, you know, going back to the basics, I think is very important when it comes to, you know, you being with your spouse. It's kind of like, when you think about it and you look back over your life, if you didn't went through a situation like that, you're like, man, I remember when. Go back to the I remember when's, you know, sometimes and say, man, I remember when it was like this, you know. I used to be able to do these nice little sweet things for my wife, and she used to do these nice little sweet things for me. You know, I try to send my wife, a nice text message, you know, here and there just to give her an opportunity for her to feel uplifted, you know, and I continue to do that. I used to do things like put, you know, a teddy bear in the mailbox with a letter, you know, or knock on the door when I come home from work and not let her know I'm on the way home and ring the doorbell, and she opens the door and, you know, there was a bear and flowers and some candy there just because. And, you know, I like being able to do things like that because I enjoy that beautiful smile in which my wife gives me and she shows me. I mean, that smile can't be replaced. I love her, you know, and I always have, and I'm always going to love her. She's the mother of my children. And, you know, she has definitely been a very important factor in me, you know, recommitting my life to Christ. And I can go on and on about it, but I'm not because we're supposed to be talking about something else. But, you know, hey, I'm just sharing what I feel, and I'm glorified. I'm glory be to God that we have a relationship that we have. Amen.
Some of the warning signs, I guess, to look for that could mean, not necessarily mean that your spouse is cheating. So let's be clear. Sometimes you'll see that your spouse may become distant if they haven't been before. That could be a red flag. So you may want to really find out, okay, what's going on. That could be prior to, you know, or it could be that they are, of course, we know some of the excuses that were not there before. You know, in our case, Mish isn't on the phone, but mine and hers, you know, those of us that have military husbands in the military, you know, they have all, I'm sorry, y'all, I'm sorry, I just got a message. Kiss you crazy. They have all kinds of late nights they have to work and everything, you know, but sometimes, you know, just strange schedule changes, strange phone calls, you know, just different things like that. You find it crazy, you know, emails. So all of those could be warning signs. And if you find those, I'm not saying to go off and snap. That's not what I'm saying. It may be time just to have, you know, a conversation with your spouse to kind of see what's going on. And again, you know, if they open up, if they talk, it's important to be open, like Kenny was saying, and listen, because the goal is to restore if it's a relationship that can be. Now, we would not, you know, encourage anybody to just stay in a relationship where you're just constantly being cheated on. You know, that's what you choose to do. That is your choice, you know. That's not what we're saying. If you know, that's what you choose to do. If every other week you find out about a different man or a different woman every other week, you know, but even if it has been a pattern of a couple, you know, two or three guys, and find out, you know, why, what's going on. Because sometimes you know, people are dealing with things that they haven't, they don't realize that they're dealing with something. It could be stuff from childhood that they need to get, you know, help for. So just kind of find out what's going on with your spouse, what's there, why is it there, because people can be healed and delivered from those things. And then looking at the physical aspect of it, if you find out that your spouse has been cheating, or, you know, if it's, you know, you, whoever will listen, you know, whoever's listening, then we also would encourage you to, you know, get some blood work done to make sure, you know, go to the doctor, make sure there are no STDs, because we have to be serious about this, y'all. We got to put it out there now. I know it's real. It's real, you know, so we got to make sure, you know, just make sure you're okay, make sure your spouse is okay, you know, make sure everything is good, because that's a whole nother arena, and that's another reason why, you know, if we can keep marriages, you know, monogamous, if we can stay with our spouse, well, we can, it's not that we can't, but, you know, we encourage, you know, relationships to be that way, because we just open ourselves up to so many other things. Children are affected, but then you have things, you know, like STDs and just all kind of things that really don't have to be brought in. Somebody was complaining about, well, if there's a God, then why do we have all these STDs and all this kind of stuff? Well, if we did what God told us to do and get married and we were monogamous, which we as humans, that's just not what we do. You know, all of us are, you know, been guilty. I didn't wait till I was married, you know. So, I mean, we all are guilty of something. I commend the ones that do. But if we were to do it the way God told us to, then we wouldn't have all these things. So it's not God's fault, you know. It's sin, you know, and our actions, the reasons why we have all of these things. So that's something else I wanted to just put out there.
Absolutely. I stand firm in my faith in God, and I stand firm in being a Christian. And I'm here to tell you, callers, that even the most devout Christian has seen their darkest day, their darkest minute, their darkest hour. But what do you do when you're in that situation? You pray, and you talk to God, and you fully submit yourself to what God is saying. Now, granted, you know, we've encountered, many of us probably have encountered things like my wife said, where, you know, you got one partner that's saying, God, if you get me out of this one, I promise you I won't do it again. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, you got another phone number you didn't find in the pocket. Chances are that person's heart is not with you. And God didn't tell you to be a doormat or welcome mat, right? But at the same time, right, make sure that you're giving your best foot and putting your best foot forward. What do you mean by that? I'm glad you asked. If you're in a relationship and you're engaged or you're married and the one spouse cheats, don't think, well, that just gives me game to go cheat, so let me go find me somebody to cheat with. Because it only takes one time for you to get an STD. It only takes one time. And it's very important that you remember your children. Take care of your kids, because your kids don't need to see you like that. And if you're at that point where you just really are at the point where you're just not in love, you know, and you just feel this need to cheat, just ask your spouse for a divorce. I'm just going to keep it 100 with you on that one. That's just for real. Just ask for a divorce. Why, you know, drag your spouse through the mud like that when they don't deserve to be treated that way, or vice versa? So, you know, I mean, I'm just saying things just because, you know, I'm just saying what's on my heart. But, you know, I thank the callers definitely tonight for calling in. Always a pleasure to have our listeners and our callers on the line.
Use your support system, guys, you know, for any streamers we have listening out there. You know, use your support system. If you do get, you know, if you're in a place where you feel vulnerable prior to, you know, cheating on your spouse, and it can be stopped, use your support system. You know, we have support systems for a reason. Somebody that's going to accountable and say, hey, you know that ain't right, don't do that. you know, why you're feeling like that. Because, again, a lot of times it does go back to something that we feel like we're missing, you know. We feel like we're missing this, or we're missing, or we need this, or we need, you know. So that's the case a lot of times. So if that's what it is, you know, use your support system. You know, if you've communicated with your spouse, then find somebody to pray with you. You know, stay in prayer, because God can do it. We're going to ask one more time if anybody has anything to say. Everybody's been so anything? Anybody? Oh, my goodness. I can't believe this.
Everybody's quiet. Yes, one, I think everybody's quiet because it's such a really touchy subject. But it's, I don't know, when I look at it, I look at it, is it just being selfish, just flat out selfish? I mean, I don't know. I really don't know how to explain how I feel about, you know, infidelity, period, other than it just being selfish, because is it a choice? That, you know, if I were to step out, it would be a choice that I made, and it would affect five other people. And I made that choice to make me happy. That choice isn't going to make anybody else happy. It's just for me. And I think it's one of the most selfish things that a human being could possibly do.
It is choice. Yeah. It is definitely something. It is. For that keto, definitely right. Can definitely not do, to engage in it. Is there anybody else that has anything to say? Wow, you guys are really, really quiet tonight. But, well, we thank you all for calling in. We hope that something we said did help. We hope if the number one thing is protect your family, you know, take what God has given you. You know, our families are precious. They are precious. Not to just be caught around with, played with, you know, not for people's emotional state to just be played with, because we see it all the time when someone steps out of a marriage and then the spouse kills them and all kinds of stuff because they just emotionally, you know. So we have to, you know, understand that marriage is an emotional tie, it's a physical tie. You know, every part of you is supposed to be find with that person, with your spouse. And so we need to protect our marriages, protect our spouse. Like Keto said, you know, it is a choice, and so don't make the choice. Take the way out. God has given us a way out. So, you know, that we remember. Does anybody else have anything to say? Okay. Did you have anything to say? Okay. Well, we do appreciate for tuning in. We really, really do. Thank you for listening. And we hope that everyone has a great, great weekend. Happy Father's Day to you, Keto. We hope you have a great weekend.
Oh, thank you. You do the same, Kenny.
Thank you, brother. Same to you, man. Happy Father's Day.
Well, we'll be back Tuesday at 8 p.m., so Eastern. If you can, join us then. Love you guys, and y'all have a good night.
Good night.
Thank you. You have a good night yourself.